Please remain standing now for the reading of God's word. Our passage this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. People of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Please bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing to be able to be here this morning to worship you. We thank you for your word, which is living and active. And Lord, we pray today that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that you work in our hearts and minds and draw us nearer and closer to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm only going to ask you guys to participate in this sermon once today. So I would like you to raise your hand if you have ever been 7 years old or younger at any point in your life. All right, see, even Don Cole has been 7 years at one point. But the hardest part about that age, as we all know, is that you can't sit around and eat ice cream for every meal, watch cartoons all night long, right? And as good of an idea as that sounds, we know that ultimately that is not good for us. I used to get so frustrated as a child that my parents would make me wear a helmet when I had to ride my bike. None of my friends had to do that. That made me so frustrated because I couldn't see why would they make me do this. But looking back, I could see that they knew what was best for me. And not just when we're kids, but even as adults, we are not always capable of knowing what is best for our lives. But God, and he is the one who sees all things, he knows all things, and he is in control of all things. He knows what is best for our life, and he is actually able to provide that. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you believe this to be true about God. But that doesn't mean that there aren't times in which our faith is challenged, when our faith is weak. Right? We had that earlier in our call to confession, right? This father who is calling out to God, where he's like, "I believe, help my unbelief." And so the same for us as Christians, that there are times in which our faith is challenged when our faith is weak. But thankfully, we have a loving God who provides all that we need. He speaks to us. He gives us his word. And so today, we're going to finish chapter 4 of Gospel of John, where Jesus heals an official's son. Now, I have three main points that I want to touch on in our text today. The first is our need for Christ. Second, our response to Christ's word. And third, our joyful expectation in Christ. So first, we're going to look at our need for Christ. And in our passage today, there are two parties. One represents a proper understanding of what it means to need Christ, and the other shows an improper understanding. So the first party that we see here is the Galileans. So if you jump back one verse to verse 45, we read, "So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast." Right, and we read about that previously in John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem," Jesus, "at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing." You can only imagine, right, being those people at that Passover feast, seeing this man perform these amazing miracles. And when you hear, always coming back here to Cana in Galilee, we have to go see this man. Maybe if your friends or family had not seen, they're telling them, "Come with us, come see this man." Right, in our world today, there is no shortage of people who try to recreate this. Right, try to, you know, use, claim to have miraculous healing powers, or they can do things like Jesus did. You know, and we see those people, maybe the crazy TV preacher, the snake charmer, you know, it's easy for us to laugh that off and go, "Oh, those crazy people." But aren't we just as prone at times to focus on the gifts and not the giver? How often do we see God answer our prayers, and in the next moment, he's nowhere around us? So what are these people missing? Right, we read in verse 48, "So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.'" So what are these Galileans missing? Right? Why does he rebuke them in verse 48? Well, before we dive into that, it's important for us to understand, maybe you've ever asked this question, why does Jesus perform these miraculous signs? Right? What is the purpose of these signs? Well, we don't have to guess. Thankfully, John tells us this at the end of his gospel. And so in John 20, verses 30 through 31, this is what he says. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." So these miraculous signs that Jesus performed were meant to point to his identity, right? To point to Jesus' identity as the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing, we may have life in his name. You see, the Galilean crowd that Jesus rebukes in verse 48 see past the sign itself and miss the one doing the sign, right? So they are so caught up in the signs that he is doing, right? They look at these signs, but they don't actually see the one who is doing them, right? The point of these signs is to point to Jesus, to his identity, right? That we may have life in him. But these people were only, in other words, they could only see as far as the eye could see. And all the eye desired was to be amazed by the wonders of these signs. And in another sense, it's kind of like being a bandwagon fan, right? Team's doing really well, players are playing well, you're the number one fan, you know, post on social media, maybe you know, buy a t-shirt. But the second that team stops playing that way, or that player, you're gone. Right? And so on the surface, it may have seemed like, oh, these Galileans are showing this true belief, but what Jesus is revealing to them is that you are just here for the wonders of these signs, right? You're only believing what you can see. So that's the improper way of understanding our need for Christ. Second, we have the proper approach, and this is contrasted with a man who desperately needed Jesus to heal his dying son. And as we'll see throughout this passage, this man does not fully realize his need for Christ and for eternal life from the start. We see that at the end. But his pattern of life here, his example is good for us. It shows us a good example of our need for Christ. So follow with me, starting in verse 46. Verse 46, we read, "So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." Like the Galilean crowd, right, they had seen these signs at the Passover feast. Their arms are wide open, welcoming Jesus in. And somehow we're not told this official somehow hears that Jesus is coming, and he must know something about Jesus. Either he was there, somebody told him that this man might be able to heal his son. And so when he hears that Jesus was coming to Cana in Galilee, he embarks on a day-long journey from Capernaum. Right? So his travels would take at least a full day to get there. This is important to understand because it shows us how desperate of a situation this man was in. Right? In our text here, it says that he was an official, and better translation is more of a royal official. Right? So he was a man of wealth and status and resources. Right? So he probably had access to the best doctors around. But yet, none of that was enough to heal his son. So again, he embarks on this day-long journey to go find Jesus in the hope that Jesus can heal his son. And I think this shows us something very important to us, that a lot of times in our lives, we think that we are fully in control. Right? There might be minor times in which we don't feel that. But sometimes situations, even as dire as this, would never want to happen. We would not want to be in this father's position. But God does use these things, and he can use these things, like with this father here, to draw us nearer and nearer to him. And we see here again that this is a good example of our need for Christ. Right? We need him for everything in our life. We desperately need him. And we see this in the first part with the father here begging Jesus to heal his son. So the second part we want to look at here is our response to Christ's words. So after this man pleads with Jesus for the second time in verse 49, Jesus said to him, so Jesus responds after first, right, he rebukes him and the crowd, saying, "You will not believe unless you see these signs." And this man pleads with Jesus again, "Please come before my child dies. He's on the verge of death." And so Jesus responds to him in verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." So now this man was just pleading with Jesus. He's desperate. He's pleading with Jesus, "Please come to heal my son." Right? And he thinks the only possible way is if Jesus comes back with him in person to heal his son. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Go, your son will live." Notice Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, yeah, I'll come with you." He says, "Go, your son will live." And that was a different answer, right, than he expected, than he asked for. So now he's put in this position. What is he going to do? Was he going to say, "All right, I will believe you once you come heal my son"? This is a man, he's a royal official. Maybe he said, you know, both figuratively and physically, "I'm going to grab your hand and force you to come back here and heal him." Did he walk away like the rich young ruler who talks to Jesus and after Jesus tells him what he needs to do, hangs his head in sorrow, walking away disappointed? No. It says this man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and he went on his way. And again, this is no small thing for him to believe. All right, let's say that what Jesus said was false. He's gone back a whole day's journey, and he had to come back and then go back again at best. Right? And so that he has to trust that what Jesus is saying here is true. And if Jesus' word ended up not being true, so he has to trust in Jesus' word. Right? He trusts in Jesus' response here, even if it's different than what he had pleaded with him. And again, that brings us back to where in Jesus' rebuke saying, you will only believe when you see. Right? His belief here was before he saw that miraculous sign. He trusted and responded to Jesus' word with faith and obedience. Now, as I was talking about this text yesterday with Katie, she brought up something to me that was quite obvious. But yet, I think a lot of times when we're reading God's word, we can kind of skip over these things. She was saying, this father was a real person. And you're all nodding your head, well, of course he's a real person. But he was a real person that was a father, and he had a dying son. And I won't stand up here and pretend like I've ever been in that situation with a child who was sick, on the verge of death. I've only heard stories from Katie as she works at a children's hospital, just talking about parents wailing as their sons and daughters are on the verge of death, looking for any possible solution to answer this. And this is the situation in which this father is in. He shows us that there is no hope outside of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And so again, he responds to him in faith and obedience. And so how does that apply to us today? Right, when we pray, we know that God hears our prayers in the same way in which Jesus heard this man talk to him. Right? But we might say to ourselves, okay, well, Jesus verbally and audibly responded to this man. What about us? Well, thankfully, God has revealed himself to us in his word. The Bible is not just some old manuscript, ancient text like Plato or Aristotle, but it is living and active. God actually speaks to us through his word. And so like this man, we can go to God with all of our needs, all of our desires, and plead with him with open hands saying, Lord, please hear my prayers. And we can also learn from this man to pray, Lord, that your will be done. Right? Because Jesus does answer his prayer in the one sense saying he will be healed, he will live, but it's in a different way than what he expected. And so he has to respond, again, in faith and obedience before he can see the result. Now, like all good infomercials, but wait, there is more. And that is when we get to our last section here, our joyful expectation in Christ. And as we continue here, as the man responds again in faith, he leaves. And in verse 51, and as he was going down, right, back home, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. Now the skeptic might jump in, well, he just needed a good night's sleep, right? Well, so he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said yesterday. At the seventh hour, the fever left him. Why is that important? Well, the father knew that was the exact hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed and all his household. You see, when this man came to Jesus, he was desperate. And he saw that his greatest need here was his dying son. But Jesus is the great physician. He's able to diagnose all of our needs and actually give us a remedy and is able to apply that. You see, the biggest problem that this man had and his son and his household was not just restoring physical life or keeping him from dying, but they were spiritually dead. They needed eternal life. And so it's interesting how when Jesus initially, right, is rebuking them for saying, the Galilean crowd, you're just believing when you see a sign. This man, again, had to have faith in Jesus' word before he saw the sign. But then what happens? Exactly what John says at the end of his gospel, right? This revealed, this miraculous sign of bringing this father's son back to life, pointed to Christ, right? So even though he was overjoyed by his son being brought back to life, he looked even ahead of him, right, to Christ, to the one performing the sign. Right? Christ revealed himself to him and his household and that, and they were able to believe, right? And so now they have eternal life. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope that this encourages you and spurs you on in prayer with hope and confidence. Because you see, the Father, who did not spare his only Son, loves us, provides for us, knows what's best for us, even when we can't see that, and he gives us all that we need for this life and life with him for all eternity. And this is a joy and a privilege that we have, as we've talked about throughout our worship today, that we can go to him and be confident that he hears all of our needs, and we can trust that he will provide for us even when we don't understand, even when we can't understand the timing, right, or how he does it. We can trust that he knows all things. And if you have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, let this be a sign to wait no longer, to see Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Believing in him, you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for the privilege to be able to be here today. You've given us your word. You speak to us. And Lord, these difficult times and trials, pray, Lord, that you strengthen our faith, that you bring us and draw us nearer and nearer to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.